BBC Radio WM. Now, I want to go and talk to Stephen Gillan. He is an author. He's now a filmmaker, but he was a gangster. He was a career criminal. But his life has been, well, transformed because he's an entrepreneur. He's established the Stephen Gillan Foundation. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
That's okay. Can we talk books, first of all, before we talk about films? Because your latest book is one called Injustice, Love and Honour. And we go back quite a way, don't we, with a particular case? Because this book centres around Fred Sewell and the murder of a top police officer.
Yeah, Injustice, Love and Honour, it's available now worldwide. It's just been released now, Paul. It's really a deep dive on one of the most iconic murders in British history of its most senior officer, Gerald Richardson. I actually had someone, you know, in the family behind this who was giving me the inside story and the exclusive story to be able to craft this book. You know, of course, this remains still the single most awarded incident by the Queen with the George Cross. For valor, there was a lot of George Crosses given out to the people involved in this incident, and its commemoration has just passed. This is 50 years ago, and it happened in 1971.
Yeah, for those that weren't around at the time, it was so big in the news. There were 100,000 people, I think, thereabouts, at the funeral of Superintendent Gerald Richardson.
Yeah, it's really an unbelievable story, Paul, because it's why I took it on. And the deeper I go into this, the more I was gripped myself. What a privilege to be able to write this book was, because actually where you've got Sewell, who was Britain's most wanted man at the time, you know, and then you had the officer, Joseph Lonely, who just a year after his capture stopped him escaping, just a week before Gerald Richardson's widow was awarded by the Queen posthumously his George Cross. And then you have Gerald Richardson himself. All these guys were the same age, but their fates were so different.
I mean, it is an incredible story, as is your story, The Monkey Puzzle Tree, which is being turned into a film, isn't it?
Yes, The Monkey Puzzle Tree was a different book to write because it was on my life. And I really, you know, I had to keep to the authenticity of the story. It's a very raw book. You know, I'm pleased to say it's touched so many people who have had so many adversities, and you know, had to traverse so many difficulties themselves to know that they can change. It is a matter of choice, you know, and it doesn't matter of where we come from, but it is about moving and learning, being part of the world, creating, you know, and stepping into our own light, Paul.
Your life's been transformed in recent years, but you were a career criminal. You were one of the most wanted men in Britain at one point. So what got you in? How were you brought into the sort of criminal world?
The first thing you have to understand is I was born here, Paul, but I was taken over to Belfast in the middle of the war then. You know, I was born in 71 myself, and, you know, I was 6 months old. I didn't remember that, but I was in the Troubles until I was 9 and then brought back to London, East London. Yep. So my upbringing, my formative years were really full of craziness of what I saw. And I went through a lot of trauma, but you're groomed for this life, you know, this kind of life. And, you know, I was feral in many ways. I had to fend for myself. Of course, I'm accountable, Paul. I'm accountable. But this was the journey, you know, and I progressed really, really quickly, of course, from a juvenile crime. And I went, you know, unfortunately, I went straight on. And, you know, I ended up with a 17-year sentence as a Category A prisoner. They were serious times, but long behind me.
Indeed. But, I mean, you first went inside when, well, you were just, what, 14, something like that?
14, yeah. And this is the thing, because you're really groomed for that. Circumstances play a role in this. You know, I'm not looking for, you know, for any ways out on this. I mean, I really go now to the roots of this, which is part of the drive of my foundation, you know, to get this at the root, to, you know, to help this stuff happening and empower people to, you know, to lead a positive life that's focused on others so they can get the rewards of that, Paul.
I mean, it's pretty brutally honest, The Monkey Puzzle Tree. I mean, you shared a cell. I mean, you were in lots of different prisons, and you talk about the prison system and prison guards. People think it's an easy life once you're inside, but you paint a very different picture about that. But you did share a cell with Charles Bronson.
Yeah, I mean, I was next door to him. He was Category A then. I knew Charlie very well. And look, you know, I have to be honest. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there in the press about me. There has been for years now, you know, in all the nationals, even international ball. But Charlie is another case. Yes, you know, he has his problems. And yes, you know, in his time, he was a very, very dangerous guy. But there are other sides to Charlie. You know, the truth is, I've seen a lot more dangerous people that should have stayed in prison a lot longer, you know, and shouldn't have seen the, you know, the light of day. So it's a funny experience. But, you know, I mean, people have to be safe. You know, society has to be healthy for people to live, you know, and be able to progress in their life safely if they're poor.
And you talked about sort of growing up in Northern Ireland where you saw some pretty horrendous things and then that sort of shaped your early life. What turned it around, Stephen?
If you're looking for an epiphany, yes, there was that. People say this is the thing. They say, oh, you know, are people mad? Are they bad? Or all of this stuff. I mean, yes, some certainly are. But I always say I just had the circumstances, the strength, the intervention, the opportunity to find my way back to myself. So I had to undo a lot of traumas of the past. And of course, you know, I overcome, I had to circumvent unbelievable stuff, mental illness, addiction. I mean, you name it. So the answer is, you know, it was a long way back to myself. I'm so grateful I could do that. There were many epiphanies. I mean, in a sense, Paul, I lived a life that was never really for me, which is another thing. I was never really that person, but of course I played that role to the best of my ability. But the truth is I wanted out of that life for a long, long time, Paul, before I had the opportunity to get out.
Yeah, and now with the autobiography, if you like, The Monkey Puzzle 3, a TV rights are sold. Where are we with all of that? I mentioned there's going to be a film, A Story of the Life.
Yeah, it's been optioned. We have the budget top sheet, you know, and there's big names involved in this, really. You know, the budget top sheet is 36 million. That's all I can tell you. I mean, there's 400 and something people in this production. I can't say too much more because of contractual stuff. And, you know, we're really advanced in the last part of the completion finance. So I have to be mindful. But look, you know, I have my own media company as well, yep. War Media Creative.
There's quite a few YouTube films as well. But you've set up the Stephen Gillan Foundation. So the ethos of that, what's the raison d'etre? What's the objective with that?
There were three things. I mean, I look at my own life and, you know, as I unravel things, I coming through it, finding the answers and solutions to come over these massive hurdles. I see so many wonderful people, so talented, who have a future in front of them, are really snared by a lot of the stuff that I was. That's for all different reasons, of course, but it amounts to the same. You know, so it's really targeted at getting to the root, single parent families, you know, to help them. Certainly, you know, the youth to get in there and let them know they can live a positive life of intention. You know, and the other part is, you know, I have to say, I believe in entrepreneurship, Paul, because it saved my life. It was a way for me to give my life to knowing I could be the best of myself. I could be open to learn, but, you know, and give back in that way. Then that empowers other people to come behind you and help their families, you know, and be creative rather than destructive, Paul.
Once you're in a life of crime, then how difficult is it to get out of that? Because of the people you know, are there people trying to get you or drag you back in?
That's a great question. I mean, look, you know, later years, even in the US, you know, we see with the mafia and the mob guys, I've interviewed a lot of the leading ones there, and, you know, they're really structured, blood oaths and all this kind of stuff. That's really changed now, right? You know, but over here, if you're talking about the structures of organized crime, yes, I was very, very seriously in it. But the truth is, even in that life, Paul, I played by the rules, if you want to call it that. I mean, I served my sentence. You know, I had to change me from the inside out, which meant changing absolutely everything about my life, you know, and changing me. You know, the life was wrong. The life is an evil life. I'm not saying all the people in it are evil, but what goes on in that life, of course, is wrong. I wanted out for a long time. You know, I had enough. I couldn't hurt people no more. I knew it was wrong. I knew that, you know, I was so much more. I made a break, right, you know, and that is it. And this is the thing. You have to change everything about your life and understand that you're worth much more. And for me, this was always to realize that I wasn't apart from the world, but I was part of it. And then I needed to focus on others.
Yeah, I mean, it's been some life. I mean, nearly 30 years in organized crime, but now you are as I say, entrepreneur, author, there's a film, or the rights have been optioned for a film of your story, and you are a peace ambassador and with the foundation looking to make sure that people don't follow your route or get involved in the sort of the gang culture.
Yeah, I'm a very grateful person, Paul. Why wouldn't I be? I'm very straight, you know, and I have clear ideas about behaviour because of my own journey. You know, it's took a lot of work. You know, obviously, 10 years of work now, Paul, relentlessly aware I am. And I have to say, you know, it's the wonderful people in my life, really, who I always look at them and think they're a lot, you know, a lot more wonderful than I would ever be. I'm very blessed to, you know, have a go at the stuff that I do, really.
And how do you feel about Injustice, Love and Honour, which is the latest book, this story of this crime from, 50 years ago?
It's very unique because, obviously, I'm a very unique author that has traversed in all these different lives, you know, and understand the depth of these roles a lot more than any normal writer would. It's a book, but it's kind of a screenplay that would make a wonderful TV series. So it moves very fast. Again, it was a privilege. And for me, you know, after writing my own book, this was a chance for me to show my skills as a writer. It was a real privilege, I have to say. You know, it's doing well in the States now. You know, it was wonderful, Paul, because there was learning for me too, obviously, writing this book again.
Yeah, about the true case that happened back in the early 70s, Fred Saul, and the murder of a top cop, Superintendent Gerald Richardson, written by Stephen Gillan, who is now a top author, entrepreneur, has the foundation, but a former criminal who's turned his life around. Stephen, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Good luck in all you're doing.
Paul, thank you for having me.